Oh, okay. I'll stop messing with you. Go ahead. Carry on.
This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 435, recorded Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
You know, I do try not to say dum 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 dum, but I can't help it.
It's addictive.
I guess. Certainly habit forming.
You're a dum-dum-dum-aholic?
Apparently.
Okay, well, we're here with another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Yay!
You realize we've done this 436 times?
Yes.
Well, that was the question.
I'll go with yes.
Yes, we have.
Yes.
Well, actually, no, you weren't here once or twice, so I've done this 436 times.
Oh, and what about all the times that I did it when you weren't there?
Did you record it?
Well, maybe.
Did you publish it on the feed?
Probably not.
Then you have no proof.
Oh, see, that's how you're gonna do me. All right.
So I want to apologize to all of those people who are following us on Google Plus.
Because they're no longer following us?
Because there's no longer Google Plus. That
No!
reminds me, I better take the icon down. I knew I forgot something important. Remove Google Plus icon. I'll find it later. Anyway, I know it's a setting there somewhere. So that's gone. So you do have, of course, all other places to find us, such as commenting on our actual website.
We have a website.
How do you think people find the show? You think they just show up and not listen to the show just all on their own?
We built it, therefore they come, right? That's how it
Yeah,
works.
but every episode is posted and there is the opportunity to leave comments.
Oh, that's like so sweet. I wonder if it works.
Have you left a comment recently?
I did. Did you get
Did you do it right now?
No.
I have no record. Let's see. The last time that we received a comment, that's of course excluding all of the times that Kevin McLaughlin liked or reposted on Twitter.
Thanks, man.
Oh, let's see here. March 13th, Kevin McLaughlin commented that he had a pro that the Google Plus page is broken. Please help. I didn't respond because there's nothing I can do to help on that, being as the Google Plus page is gone.
Gone?
Yeah. So, not much I could have done about that. Sorry, Kevin.
It's permanently broken.
Prior to that, our previous comment was July 14th, 2018. In re reply to your request for feedback in episode 403, carry on as you are.
Yay.
Let's see.
Carrying on.
In June of that year, Pat Archibald said that he was frustrated trying to review the newer Google Hangouts chat Android app, which is under his G Suite work account. So he's frustrated. So nothing recent. But feel free to comment at any time. I will read your comment out on the air, and you have your choice of me reading it normally or me trying to read it in a dramatic fashion. Do you prefer dramatic fashion or non-dramatic fashion?
Depends on the comment.
So beyond that, let's see what else is going on. I had a busy weekend. I did
Ooh.
something somewhat related to home automation, but not entirely.
What did you do?
Well, I've been tracking my location by sending it directly into Home Assistant so that I could
Yes.
determine whether or not I'm in the house. But I'm sort of envious of those nice maps that you can get from Google about where you've been, where they show you the map for the year. Google Maps timeline.
Yes.
So I installed my own.
Ooh.
So I installed a server that does that, and I didn't want to be sending things to two different applications. So then I created a integration between the system that I installed and Home Assistant so that I would only be sending the data once. So I send the data to this GPS tracking software that saves my location, and then Home Assistant pulls that in order to actually get my current location in order to determine if I'm in the house or not, since that's all Home Assistant needs to know. Where am I in relation to home? How does that sound?
I think it sounds cool.
So it has its advantages, but it seems to actually do pretty well, because just looking at the, you know, there are a few limitations in the way that I set it up to not poll quite as often. So it's only picking up when I'm moving. Otherwise, it leaves it unchanged.
Cool.
And that means that since it only polls every few minutes, that it might miss me leaving a place.
Okay, but it'll catch that you aren't there.
Yeah, but a little delayed. I may work at it in the future, but it makes me want to bring all of my data sources all together under one integrated roof.
Sure.
Because I used to send all of my weather data from my weather station to Weather Underground. Have you heard of them?
Yes.
But there's a whole big thing with that. As of March 22nd, 2019, they shut off all of the API keys on the old Weather Underground API.
Ooh, not nice.
So now you have to apply for a new API key, and that API key is only permitted to people who are uploading data on the Weather Underground personal weather station network. And what you get as a reward for signing up is you get to look at your own weather data.
Well, that doesn't sound like much fun.
Well, they also add in the forecast based on your weather data. So you get forecasts and weather conditions for just where you are, or just your own system.
Seems kind of silly.
Well, I'm looking for ways to enhance my weather reporting. So we'll see what I come up with.
Good luck.
Well, my weather system is sends all of its data to something called WeeWix. W-E-E-W-X. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't really have a very easy-to-use system to upload it, so I have to actually write an extension. Well, first I have to learn how to write an extension. Admittedly, I'm not really a Python developer, but I think I can hack it. Well, it's pretty similar to every other type of language that I've dealt with. So I have to hack it to be able to send that information somewhere, but then I have to decide where to send it. So once I've decided where to send it, then you know you have that other advantage that maybe I can do something more interesting with it. I am already sending it to Home Assistant, but I haven't really done much with it there. I think I might be able to pair it with the forecasting that I get from those other people, because I'm sharing my data with them, and maybe do something interesting.
Good luck.
Well, we'll see. Always worthy of experimentation. I'm sure you've learned that.
Yes.
So let's see what else is going on. Pixel's call screen feature might make its way to other phones. Do you use this call screen feature?
I do.
Do you like it?
I do. It's very nice.
I do have good news, though, by the way.
Ooh, good news.
I've had my replacement Pixel 3 XL.
Yes.
For 6 days, and it hasn't died.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's bad luck to say that, but this time it's still alive.
Good. Do you love it, or do you hate it?
Well, there are a few things that I have issues with, but for the most part, I like it. Nothing's perfect.
Awesome.
Now, specifically as it applies to the phone, the thing that I'm reluctant to do the thing that it was doing when the previous one died.
Which is?
I was slow charging using wireless charging. I pulled out some of my old Qi pads and was charging with them. Now, with the Pixel 3, you can do wireless charging, but it will always report as slow charging unless you use an approved charger.
Yep.
I don't have an approved charger, so...
For shame.
Well, the thing is that if I'm leaving something next to my bed overnight, do I really need it to charge fast?
I'm going to go with no.
So I'm fine. I probably will get at least one faster charger, because you never know, but... I did have to get... I bought one new one that uses a USB-C port on it, just so I could plug it into all the cables that I've converted. But other than that, I have to break out the old ones and see which ones work well with it and which ones don't, because I still do have some. And it's now the only device I have that does wireless charging, because all the other ones died.
Oh.
Actually, I still do have the old Nexus 7, but it is getting there. So let's see what else. Apparently, there have been updates to the applications in the AOSP, the Android Open Source Project. Apparently, the calculator is no longer part of the project.
Seems kind of lame.
Well, I think they've sort of decided that you, as part of an Android Open Source Project, you do not actually need a calculator. That you could develop your calculator separately. Then, also, the calendar and music app are the simplest versions possible. They feel, apparently, that there are enough music, open source music apps out there that theirs just no longer acts as a music app. It just plays files.
Okay, I'll buy that.
So they've turned it into more of a reference app.
Okay, so Aesop is turning into pretty much the minimum viable stuff.
Well, yeah, and they hadn't really been maintaining these applications regardless. So that's, saying, you know, we don't really think that this belongs here and we're just not going to do anything with it is at least a clearer message.
That's fair. Yep, that's fair.
Is it?
I think it's fair.
So let's see what else. Verizon launched a free version of its call filter feature to help block robocalls, so you can get this in the App Store.
Interesting.
Assuming you're part of Verizon.
No!
Why no?
It means I can't use it.
Well, I was briefly on Verizon.
And did you use it?
No.
Oh.
Well, what happened was I was worried about the fact that I didn't have a phone because of the eSIM situation.
So I borrowed
a SIM card from my grandmother, who we bought a smartphone, but she never used it.
Okay.
That reminds me, I have to go find a... they're getting rid of CDMA on Verizon. I have to find an LTE flip phone. I've been putting that off.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, we learn. Anyway, let's see here. Apple Music will be getting Chromecast support. So apparently Apple had some sort of event where they decided that they're no longer a hardware company. They are a services company, and therefore they no longer care whether or not their applications are on Android. So Chromecast, yay. Did I describe that well enough? I was sort of giving the Cliff Notes version of that story, but...
No, I think it's... Yes. Because Amazon has showed that it doesn't matter. The device doesn't matter as long as you support everything. That's why they're the leader of ebooks. They'll put a Kindle reader on anything and not charge you for it.
Well, I sort of love that about them. There are other things I don't love about Amazon, but the fact, you know, up until the point at which they started getting into this whole big fight with Google, I sort of loved the fact that it was, we don't care what platform, just use our stuff.
Yep.
Although, how many years on the show did we comment that there was no Amazon video app for Android?
At least three.
Yeah, but it was a long-running theme on the show that we thought that was a thing that they should have made earlier.
Yep, yep, yep.
Anyway, if you're everywhere, then people will adopt you. Then if the lesson of most large businesses is the same, then they will try to pull up the drawbridge behind you once they've gotten you into their ecosystem. here's a good one. Home Assistant has announced an official app for Android that's under development for the summer of 2019. So I found the whole discussion here to be really interesting.
Okay.
So there are a lot of unofficial Home Assistant apps for Android. So Home Assistant, if you haven't been paying attention, is a open source platform for home automation that brings together a lot of different libraries. So one of their big strengths is that instead of developing features inside Home Assistant has components, and the components interface with Python-based libraries, which means you can use a whole bunch of other projects as dependencies rather than necessarily writing all the code yourself.
Yep.
And I like that integration. So the only new features that Home Assistant officially develops are the ones that are in core. Things like People, which was a recent one. So this came on April 1st, which made some people think that it was an April Fool's joke. Yeah. So the developer of the Home Assistant companion for iOS got apparently so annoyed that about why there was no official Android app that he apparently decided to learn Kotlin development after he learned Swift to build the iOS app and do it again. So he got himself a Pixel 3 and re-immersed himself in Android.
Nice.
So the first version of this will have three features: a location engine, which would be location updates when out, as well as region monitoring. So this is one of the features that's built into the iOS app. push notifications, and a full screen view for the web UI. So no native user interface. And then longer term Android Wear support sensors and widgets.
Well, I think you kind of have to use the web UI since it's really common to customize that UI for how you want.
Yeah, but a lot of the apps don't use the web UI. So this was sort of a basic declaration of what was the minimum viable.
I think this is a wise decision.
Yeah, and if you read, as of, let's see, the first beta should be out early to mid-summer, mid to late summer, version 1.0 will go to the Play Store. Now, one of the interesting things about this is that it prompted a whole discussion in the comments, which I've linked, of people talking about why they didn't just adopt an existing Home Assistant app. So, Ariella, which you're familiar with, which I've mentioned to you, is a very popular... Yes. Yeah, it is a very popular Android app for Home Assistant, but it does actually do some things that would have to not be part of the app. This is not the fact that it is ad-supported. That has been agreed that can't be in an app that's officially supported by the project. But there were a few other problems, and there was an interesting back and forth. So, but some of the features from that app may be features that end up being adopted.
Being?
Well, just looking through the comments here, you have things like sensors, which they've said they're going to adopt, the ability to read NFC tags. So if you run your phone off for an NFC tag, it can send that information to your Home Assistant instance, so you could do things like have an NFC tag somewhere and use it as a home automation trigger.
Sure.
The next alarm sensor in the phone, that one I like. So if I set an alarm on my phone, I can tell it when that alarm is done to turn on the lights. But I can also do that by activating the Google Assistant integration. So there's always more than one way to do things.
Tis true. Yeah. But still cool that they're coming out with it.
Yeah, and if you read the comments, there were a whole bunch of things that would have to be necessary. So Ariella doesn't have an MQTT client embedded in it. Instead, it calls the MQTT publish service in Home Assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So it is faking MQTT. Not, you know, it's not actually working over MQTT. It's pretending to be over it. So Home Assistant is sending out an MQTT subscription, and then it is reading it. So it is making Home Assistant talk to itself.
Well, good. We all need to self-reflect more.
So, right. By the way, this is how I do stuff sometimes. So some of my sensors actually do this. Home Assistant's published service is, I fake MQTT every so often. I did this so that I could bring certain information onto the MQTT service without having to write something that actually published it myself and just doing the configuration there.
Mm-hmm.
More of a stopgap measure. So the Ariella app doesn't actually use the secure OAuth 2 for native application service that they've set up. It has it uses the native UI and has users enter in a username and password. So this is considered a security risk.
Yep.
Despite no actual reason. It doesn't take advantage of the new mobile app platform. But again, back to that's new. So there's a whole bunch of, you know, things on the list that would have to be done. And apparently the thought was, even though the developer was willing to make changes, that this should be a fresh new thing. And that Ariella should continue its development concurrently.
But it's kind of rough knowing that his app is kind of on the way out.
It actually isn't.
Well,
the opinion is that an official app doesn't mean that there aren't secondary apps. There are actually other iOS apps. Not just the official one. And since it's open source, the unofficial apps can do things with that code as well.
True. Okay. Cool.
And again, look at Twitter. I'm using it as an example. There is an official Twitter client and there are unofficial Twitter clients.
Yes, and they try very hard for the unofficial Twitter clients to not be used.
Yeah. Not in this case. But I'm talking about the old days where they didn't discourage that. It created a robust ecosystem where third-party developers would iterate, and maybe some of those features would end up in the official app, but the people who wanted these features had apps that use them, and you had choice. So why not? Let's see what else we have here. Spark Mail for Android was launched. It claims it is the best alternative to Inbox, which regrettably is gone. So it's been available on Apple products for some time. Things like snoozing emails, reminders, smart search, pinning emails, etc. So it is now on Android.
I'm going to go with awesome.
Oh, I thought awesome would be that Wyze announced a $20 home sensor that pairs with its security cameras.
Nope.
I like sensors. I'm not sure I would use theirs, but for two contact sensors and one motion sensor is $20.
Yeah.
It has a bridge that you connect to the back of one of your existing cameras. So for $20, you've now added motion and contact sensing to your camera, which cost you $25. I think that's a great idea. I think that they're very creative with their usage of design and product. And the only thing that makes me annoyed at the people at Wyze is the fact that I can't integrate with them.
Oh.
Well, I can't get my video out of their system easily.
Yep, that's a problem.
They keep saying it's coming sometime this year. I will be very happy. I'll set up a nice little dashboard on my computer where I can watch all the video. I think the fact that there is no web-based way to actually look at the video from your desktop a serious issue. And finally, if you are a fan of using your device, Delta will be offering free Wi-Fi by 2021.
So not just for T-Mobile peoples.
Yeah, well, I know that you fly in Delta.
Yes, I like Delta.
Yes, according to their CEO, they're going to be improving the customer experience, which includes free in-flight Wi-Fi by 2021. Now, the problem with that is that they do currently charge for it, and they have to figure out how they're going to justify that. So that's up to them. But I think this is a positive development. I think that a lot of organizations and places are realizing that free Wi-Fi is something that people expect nowadays.
Yep.
And while, you know, I think that it's reasonable to say if you want fast Wi-Fi that maybe you have to pay a little. But I think just the ability to, let's say, surf a few websites and look at your email is about the base level that most people think that they should get included.
Yep. We are getting to the point where we want internet everywhere.
Yeah, but not necessarily streaming movies.
Why would we not want that?
Yeah, I'm talking about in terms of what you're willing to pay for included in your fare. Now, I'm talking about two different models, though. There are actually airlines where their Wi-Fi has streaming movies that you're streaming from the plane that you can only access on the plane. I'm talking about streaming from the ground. So if you want to watch your Netflix situation on a plane, I think there you're using so much bandwidth and that has a significant cost to the airline that maybe that should not be included in your free price.
Well, sure, because
maybe if technology
lots of bandwidth on a moving airplane is kind of rough.
Yeah, I'm just saying maybe if technology changes, but with the current state of technology, people should find it reasonable that you can surf the web and do your email and do basic text-based tasks, not audio or video. I bring my entertainment along anyway. So it's something of a slow week in that regard. I'm going to continue some of my technology experiments that I mentioned. And maybe I'll have more to talk about next time.
Yay!
I don't know. I think location tracking is a nice thing. And having it all on a server.
No, it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll talk more about it. I considered building something, but I decided to instead just install off-the-shelf software. But the nice thing about open source is if I don't like how it works, I can always change it.
Yes, you can.
Anyway, until next time when we will be once again back with a wonderful program.
Yep. Wonderful program.
Any final thoughts before next week, Jerry?
I am final thoughtless.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to next week.
Bye, folks.
Goodbye.